Let's pray together. God, I thank you for reminding us that you reign. God, it's tough for us because we just get caught up in ourselves, God, and we just miss you. And we miss what you want to do, and oftentimes we just miss a lot, God, because we just weren't listening. God, I pray, Lord, that today that we would listen to you. God, I pray, Lord, that as we seek you through your scripture, God, that you would speak to our hearts. God, I pray, Lord, that we would speak to yours. God, may everything that has happened here and that is going to happen here be for your glory, for the good of you, for your fame. God, we love you. God, bless our time together with you. In your name I pray. Amen. Have a seat. Cadence is all about a response, a recurring rhythmic response. For us, this series, Cadence, is actually a study of the Psalms. And this study of the Psalms, I think, without a doubt, unearths one thing, if nothing else, it unearths that there is a constant response, one right after another. One response following another response, very rhythmic, definitely recurring. But sometimes the response is different. For people that have not really studied Scripture, they would probably say, well, you know, the Bible is, you know, a lot of happy-go-lucky and, you know, a lot of that kind of stuff. And the truth is not always the response that we see in Scripture. And that is true for the book of Psalms, definitely. Psalms also being songs. We see one of the writers of the Psalms, David, with a very different response. I think about some of the greatest songwriters in history. And I think about some of the songs that they've written. And if you go back and you look at those songs, some of the songs that you love, some of the songs that I love, of all different kinds and types of music, you'll find one thing. And that is that the best songs are written from the soul. Today we kind of got the soul thing going on. And some of the songs that we've heard this morning, definitely written from the soul. Our God reigns. Majesty. Man of constant sorrows. Written from the soul. And sometimes our response to God is, God, you are it. You are majesty. There is nothing greater than you. And sometimes our response to God is, God, I am a man of constant sorrows. Woe is me. David was no different. And I think about David being a songwriter here. And he is pinning down the song for the day. And on this day, David is on the run. He's been accused of things that he has not done. It kind of reminds me of the A-Team. The A-Team, that's right, in the black van, the four guys, token girl for the, you know, kids show, whatever, the A-Team. On the run, unjustly accused. And that's where David was at. David was right in the middle of having to deal with the fact that he was being hunted. And not just, let me just throw this out here, not just hunted by just like random people. I'm talking about hunted and being accused by some of his best friends. Some of his own family, his own son, accusing him of things he's not done. And you got to know where David is coming from, because David knows that God has chosen him to be the king. The anointed king, the one that is supposed to snuff out evil in the land. David knows this. He knows he's been chosen to do this. And in the midst of that, he knows that he's being hunted down by people that are wrongfully accusing him. People that are evil, living in sin. And what would your response be if you were there? Well, David wrote this response. And in this response, we see something that probably seems very similar to sometimes how we feel. And I'll just be honest with you, this is probably one of those books of the Bible that a lot of pastors would just say, let's just stay away from that one. Because we've got enough pastors today that are all about the health and wealth, and you know, everybody's supposed to be rich and, you know, be sitting in gold chairs like they do on TV and stuff, you know. If you ever see a gold chair on our stage, just know that we're probably going to make fun of that on that day, okay, if that ever comes. But in Psalm 109, we see David, and he has penned a song for us that has come from the soul of a man that is on the run and is being hunted down by the people that he loves, people that were his friends, people that he has done nothing to deserve their response to him being this. And it says in verse 1, O God, whom I praise, do not remain silent, for wicked and deceitful men have opened their mouths against me. They have spoken against me with lying tongues. With words of hatred, they surround me. They attack me without cause. In return for my friendship, they accuse me, but I am a man of prayer. They repay me evil for good and hatred for my friendship. If we were in David's shoes, we would probably pen some vengeful stuff. Vengeance is one of those things that lives sometimes in our hearts because we let it. But it's one of those things that God wants to take from us. And we are about to read some stuff that you're just going to go, I can't believe that's in there. And I don't know that I can fully explain it to its best. But starting in verse 6, we see David begin to throw out to God, hey God, here's some ideas of some things you can do with these guys. Because I'm really hacked off and I'm really tired. And so starting in verse 6, it says, appoint an evil man to oppose him. Let an accuser stand at his right hand. When he is tried, let him be found guilty, and may his prayers condemn him. May his days be few. May another take his place of leadership. May his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. May his children be wandering beggars. May they be driven from their ruined homes. May a creditor seize all he has. May strangers plunder the fruits of his labor. You see where this is going. It's not good. May no one extend kindness to him or take pity on his fatherless children. May his descendants be cut off, their names blotted out from the next generation. May the iniquity of his fathers be remembered before the Lord. May the sin of his mother never be blotted out. May their sins always remain before the Lord, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth. For he never thought of doing a kindness, but honored to death the poor. Hounded to death the poor and the needy and the brokenhearted. He loved to pronounce a curse. May it come on him. He found no pleasure in blessing. May it be far from him. He wore cursing as a garment. It entered into his body like water, into his bones like oil. May it be like a cloak wrapped around him, like a belt tied forever around him. May this be the Lord's payment to my accusers, to those who speak evil of me. Ever felt like that? That's some heavy stuff. That's some heavy stuff. And we look at this passage of Scripture, and I know that if you're like me, one of the things that you're thinking is you're like, wait just a second. I thought Jesus said we were supposed to love everybody. And we are. Christ called us in Matthew 5. You can go look at it in the 40s there of chapter 5 in the book of Matthew, where Jesus calls us to love our enemies and pray. Get this, pray for those who persecute us. Exact quote. So, what do we do with this? Well, I think we need to do a couple of things. And the first thing that really is just jumping out at me right now is that we need to search David's heart. Number one, we need to see that David is crying out, just like me and you, David's just a guy. And he has moments where he is in trouble and he's feeling alone. And he needs to just get it out there and just say, God, this is where I'm at. And this is what I'm thinking. And by the way, if you haven't had any thoughts about some things that you could do here, here's a few ideas. And so David throws it out there. But I want us to understand something in this passage of Scripture. If you look at the book of Psalms, and I really challenge you. Look at the book of Psalms. If you're a new Christian, if you're a new believer, if your walk is just getting back into shape and you're just kind of looking for a stepping stone of somewhere to start, one of the things that you can do is just start reading like a psalm a day. There's 150 of them. It's the biggest book in the Bible. It's right smack dab in the middle of the whole thing if you just kind of do your little, you know, in the middle, open it up kind of deal. But the book of Psalms, as you go through the book of Psalms, one of the things that you will see, and David wrote a lot of these Psalms, one of the things that you will see again and again and again is that David's heart beats for the heart of God. I mean, like it. And every once in a while, this guy that really has a heart that beats like the heart of God, like many of us, just gets a little sideways. And he says to God, God, why is this happening? You called me. You called me to be the king. You called me to be the one to snuff out evil in this land. And why would you allow this to happen to me, God? Why? And we've been there. I don't think there's a person in this room today that wouldn't admit, if we were just real honest with each other, that I've been there. I've been right there and I've gone, God, why is this happening to me? And in the midst of that, God wants us to seek Him. And David is seeking. And David is seeking so hard that he is just brutally honest. And he is just throwing out there, God, I'm not going to be the one to go and take care of this. And this is where we see David's heart being so much like the heart of God. For most of us, what would we like to do? We'd like to go take care of it ourselves. Well, I'll just write a letter to the editor about what that person did to me. Or I'll just go tell all of their friends what they did to me. You see, we want to take matters into our own hands. And that's not what God wants us to do. David's throwing this back to God. He's saying, God, this is yours. This is all you. I can't take vengeance on another person, but you can. And that's true. You see, God punishes sin with His wrath. And for those of us that are in here today, I just want to throw this out here to you because I don't want anybody to be confused. If you know Christ as your Savior, then Christ has taken on the wrath for you. He's taken on the wrath for me. But you may be sitting here today and you may not know Christ as your Savior. You may be still trying to figure this thing out. Let me tell you what, you're going to spend the rest of your life figuring this thing out. Just jump, okay? And although Christ takes that on for those of us that know Him, for those of us that do not know Christ in here today, then you have a wrath right now that is awaiting you. And that's not one of those things that we love to talk about a lot of times, but it's just true. And I just got to tell you, I want to share that with you today because I don't want you one day getting to the end of life and going, hey, no one told me. You got told today. If you've never heard it before, you've heard it today. When you get to the end of life, if you have not given your heart to the Lord, then there is a wrath that is waiting on you. And you say, well, Chris, that's just mean. Why would God do that? Oh, he was all about love. Well, he is. And that's why he sent his son to die for you. Don't be the guy that's on the roof of the house in the flood with the helicopter going by and going, I'm just waiting for God to, you know, make something happen. Hello, there's a helicopter. Get on it. God is just. And that's why God has to hand out wrath on sin. He's a just God. And David knew this. David knew this so much that he goes on in verse 21, and it says this in verse 21, but you, O sovereign God, deal well with me for your name's sake. Out of the goodness of your love, deliver me. And you see, David right there understood something about God. And he understood that his namesake, which also meant the character of who he was, that his character was a just God, and he would take care of everything. Don't we get just flustered? I mean, don't we just get like, I mean, just super duty worried about just like, you know, man, I sometimes just can't help but laugh at people that are spazzing out around me sometimes. If you're ever spazzing out and I'm around and I start laughing, just don't take it personal, okay? And I spazz out too. I'm not saying that I never do that. But sometimes it's just funny to me because it's like that we just forgot that God's sovereign. You want to know what? If you go out in just a few minutes and your car doesn't start, guess what? God's still on his throne. If you go home in a little while and the air conditioning quits working, guess what? God still reigns. You see, the things in our life, all the trivial things that we'll start wigging out about are things that really, I mean, come on, let's just be honest with each other. They don't affect God. God affects us. But he calls us to seek him. And I'm afraid that so many Christians for so many years have just been scared to death about, how do you approach God? I don't know if I don't pray in public. I can't do that, you know. Why would I want to talk to God? I'll talk with everybody else, but I won't talk with God in front of other people. Heaven forbid everybody's bowing their heads and closing their eyes. They don't have to look at you anyway, but hey. And, you know, we just get to this point where we're just like, you know, I don't even know how to approach God. I'm scared of approaching God. I'm scared of, you know, what that means and everything that goes in with that. But you know what? God just wants us to come to him and be honest with him. And David knew that. David knew that God's heart was for him to just spill what was on his heart. And right now, so many of us in this room, we're just carrying around junk. Christians are sometimes the worst about it. We're just carrying stuff around. Like, oh, I'm bitter about this, and I got this going on. And we're just like, you know, we just start packing it on. Just put it on my back. God wants us to share with him like we have a relationship with him. You know why? Because he wants to have a relationship with us. You say, well, God already knows everything. Yeah? So? Your spouse, your loved ones, they know you love them, right? Does that mean you never tell them? Of course not. Relationships are built on communication. And God wants us to communicate with him, and he wants to communicate through us, and he does it through this. This is it. This is his word. He inspired it. He wrote it through the hearts of men. And I'm telling you what, it'll absolutely change your life if you ever get to diving into it and seeing what it has for you. Because it's what God has for you. You see, we don't worship a book. I think a lot of people on the outside looking in kind of think that, you know, oh, the Christians, they got their Bible and they really worship the Bible. No, we don't worship a book. It's just pages with words, but it's the substance of what this is. It is God's Word. It is what He has for us. David understood that he is to cry out. And some of you today probably need to cry out. Just real honestly, some of you probably, as soon as you get out of here today, you need to find a pencil and a piece of paper and you need to start penning your song right now. And you just need to start writing, God, this is my song for this moment in my life. And God, I know it's not the best song. It doesn't rhyme. There's no iambic pentameter to this thing. You know, it's terrible. But you know what? It's what's on my heart. It may not even be completely positive, but God wants our hearts. And that means that He wants our honest hearts. I think the other thing that we need to see about David, just real quickly, is that David's heart beat so much like God's heart that this was not really an issue, although David was pretty angry at these guys and to the extent of, hey, why don't you think about ruining their families for the rest of their lives? David was more brokenhearted over the sin that was taking place. I mean, just think about this for just a second. If God calls you to do something, and then there are people getting in the way of that happening. In fact, they're not just getting in the way, but I mean, they're like sinful. I mean, they are just eaten up with evil. And they are in the way of what you know God has called you to do. What are you going to be like? You're going to be mad. You're going to be like, come on, God, move them out of the way. Get rid of them. Do something. And at the heart of what is happening in this passage of Scripture, the vengeance that David is seeking in this is not just vengeance toward people. No, this is vengeance toward sin. And truthfully, knowing that God was putting this on his heart and that he's pinning this into a song, David knows that people are going to come along and read this. And I've got to know, and I truthfully believe that he is doing this to the extreme for me and you to understand something. And that is this. That we should be willing to go to extremes to stand. Get this. Don't miss this, please. For us to stand against sin. There may be some just major decision going on in your house right now, I don't know. Maybe some major thing in your life right now, and you're just asking yourself, I don't know if I'm going to go this way with that, or if I'm going to do this, or if we're going to do that, or if we're going to do this. And I just want to just throw this out here to you. Stand against sin. David had a heart that beat like the heart of God. So much so that his heart was broken for the sin in the people's lives around him. Let me ask you a question. Does your heart beat like that? Does your heart break for actual sin? I'm not just talking about the big stuff here, okay? I'm talking about all of it. Because it all breaks God's heart. Does your heart break for that stuff? You say, well, Chris, I'm not perfect. I'm not either. But God has called us to take this stand and to take it strongly. And I truthfully believe that David is writing here in this thing so, so overtly, going just to the edge with vengeance, that he is wanting us to taste the kind of vengeance the kind of wrath that God has toward sin. One of the saddest things about so many Christians, and I'm throwing myself in here with this, is that we are great at identifying sin in our life, but we are terrible sometimes about doing anything about it. And some of you know what I mean with this statement, and that statement is, if you're still struggling with the same exact sin that you were a year ago in your Christian walk, then that tells me that you have done nothing toward trying to remove that from your life and allowing God to remove that from your life. And that's a struggle. I'm, once again, throwing myself in there on that. Sin breaks the heart of God, and therefore it should break the heart of us. God wants us to stand against sin. He wants us to cry out to Him, our actual heart. And lastly, one of the things that I think we see David doing so well here, as angry as he is, as ticked off as he is, as much as I'm sure he wanted to just call up an army and just be like, go and annihilate these people, take them down right now. Let's remember, he's the king still. And David doesn't do that. And instead, he does this. He cries out to God. He goes on in verse 26. This passage of scripture, and it says, help me, O Lord, my God. Save me in accordance with your love. Let them know that it is in your hand, that you, O Lord, have done it. They may curse, but you will bless. When they attack, they will be put to shame. But your servant will rejoice. My accusers will be clothed with disgrace and wrapped in shame as in a cloak. With my mouth I greatly extol the Lord. In the great throng I will praise him. For he stands at the right hand of the needy one to save his life from those who condemn him. You see, David got it. David understood it wasn't up to him to fix everything. And right now, me and you, there's not a person in this room, I don't think, can't identify with this. We feel like we need to fix everything. And I'm just here to bust your bubble on that one today and just let you know what? You can't. And you're not supposed to. We're not supposed to take vengeance out on people. Doesn't mean that we don't, you know, approach a brother in Christ and say, hey, I just want to tell you, I'm noticing this is happening in your life and I'm concerned about that for you. Doesn't mean that we ask somebody how they're doing and just mention something to do with that and care. But the vengeance, the anger that comes where we are brokenhearted over the sin does not mean that we take vengeance out on those people. No. David got it. It's up to God. He's the one that judges. He's the one that takes vengeance. And he will take vengeance. Wrath will be given for sin. And for some of us today, the song that is in our heart is not one that beats for Christ. If you're a believer, then I would start with seeking him. Pray that God would give you a desire to seek him, to grow in him. You need that. I can't live without it. And mine's as up and down as everybody else's in the room. But it may be because you're here today, and it may be because your soul doesn't cry out for Christ because your soul doesn't know Christ. And for you, you're facing that wrath. And I want to throw it out here. This is not a scare tactic. I don't scare people into becoming a Christian, into knowing Christ. This is something that's between you and God. And I just encourage you that you don't have to do that. You don't have to take that wrath because God is offering the sacrifice of His Son to save you. after the service today, some of us will be hanging around down here in the front. I encourage you to come and find one of us. I'd love to get to pray with you myself, talk with you about this. I don't have all the answers, but I sure have figured out at least how to get to God. And that's an amazing thing in of itself that we can even understand that. But we have exactly what He wants us to know about it. Vengeance is hard for us because we are people that have a sinful nature and we want revenge. But revenge is not for me and you. Revenge, even against sin itself, is for God. He's still on His throne. He's still mighty. He's still majesty. And even in the moments of life when you're singing the song, "I am a man of constant sorrows," He wants us to turn to Him. He wants us to seek Him. He wants us to stand against the sin, but He wants us to let Him take care of the vengeance. And maybe there's a situation going on in your life right now that you need to be David and you need to cry out, "God, you need to do something about this." Act. Act, God. Do something, God. Make something happen, God. Let God handle that. Let God handle it. Let me pray for us this morning. God, I hear David's cry. And I know that it must have been painful for him to have had to have endure what was happening in his life. God, I just sincerely pray today for the people that are in this room, for us that have gathered here, for whoever's listening to this right now, God, that you, God, would just speak to their hearts. God, that you would give us a desire to seek you, to follow you with everything that we've got, with everything that you have given us. God, you can do that, and I pray for that for all of us here this morning. God, David was praying, God, that you would be swift with this punishment, God, that he wouldn't have to endure this any longer than he would have to. God, and there's no doubt, I'm sure that there are some people in here today, God, that are going through some things that they're just saying, "God, please deliver me from this." God, I just pray, Lord, that you would just guide us through those times.